Congresswoman of the Frank Beckman Show. Nice to have the Democrat from Dearborn, Debbie Dingell, back with us from Michigan's 12th District. Congresswoman, good morning. Nice to talk with you again.
Oh, good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine, and I tell you what, right from the outset, I'm not going to hold you responsible for Rashida Tlaib's latest brainstorm.
Which one is that?
The latest is that she wants everybody, even non-citizens in the United States, so all those border crossers that we're seeing right now, she wants everyone to get $2,000 a month in cash payout from the U.S. government, which is taxpayer money.
That is true, and thank you. But, Frank, I can't believe we're nearing your last days. We have so much history, and I just can't accept the fact that you're not going to be doing the show and you and I aren't going to be having good, strong, intellectual discussions.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I've always appreciated your willingness to come out and talk about issues, no matter how tough they were. And, you know, it's going to be different. There's no doubt about that. But, you know what they say, all good things must come to an end, and this one is, sadly. So,
I want you to know how much I respect you, and I love you.
I thank you for that very much, and I you as well. So, you've always been willing to step up, and even when questions like this come up, and when I throw out things like, hey, what an idea, $24,000 a year for everybody in the United States. Yeah, what a great idea, Congresswoman Tlaib. You don't jump down my throat right away and say, oh, wait a minute, we got to. But seriously, about this money, it's getting out of hand. I mean, $1.9 trillion packages for relief and the like. The bill's going to come due at some point, right?
So this is what I'm going to tell you on the bill that we just passed. The fact of the matter is that the chair of the Fed, and I've said this to you before, who's a Republican, says we need to invest. And this money has, for the money that was in the COVID package that we had, the American Rescue Act, has four goals. Get shots in the arms of people. You're starting to see the supply increase. We're not getting them in enough arms, but it is increasing. Two, get schools open. You and I both agree on that. Three, we did get additional money into the pockets of Americans. This is the highest unemployment rate we've seen since the Great Depression. People are desperate about mortgages and rent and food. And then it's to create jobs. And the Feds themselves have said that this kind of investment in our economy will help to pay for itself, because when we get people back to work, when people are working and paying taxes, there's revenue coming in. So this country needed help. We had too many people that, one, we needed to get the vaccine out there. We needed to increase production. We need to make sure we're doing the R&D that we've got to be doing so that we're ready for these variants. We still need to be doing testing. And too many people don't have access to healthcare right now. President opened up the marketplace so that people who had health care insurance that was tied to their jobs and lost it have an ability to buy health insurance on the marketplace. That was one thing. But we do need to get the schools open. And people don't understand how complicated that is. Keeping the kids safe, CDC has now revised and said kids are probably safe at 3 feet apart. But schools have to have PPE equipment. There does have to be greater distance. You have to be careful on school buses. There are a whole lot of costs associated with making schools safe. And we want to get them open, and that's there. People are worried about mortgage payments, roofs over their heads, food. There are a lot of people that have been in crisis, and state and local governments desperately needed money. They've had to lay off EMTs. They've been paying for so many unanticipated, crushing expenses that the pandemic's brought. So,
but is it the role of the other American taxpayers to lift those people up, or is it up to them to find solutions to the issues in their own lives? I think that's where the argument comes in, doesn't it?
Frank, this pandemic has brought total crisis and turned everybody's life upside down. Through no fault of their own, people have been home for a year. They've lost their jobs. And by the way, this is something you and I will always disagree on, but we need to look at the value we place on jobs. The people that are glue, that have been the glue, that have kept us together during this pandemic, the frontline workers, not just the nurses and doctors, but the grocery store workers, the factory workers canning the food, or the farmers producing the food, are making. I know people that are working two jobs and are still living below the poverty line. We need to pay them a decent wage. And, yeah, that's some of our responsibility, is to make sure we are paying people what they're worth. We need to put a value on what their worth is to our society and community. And to me, the minimum wage should be at least $15 an hour.
All right. See, that's where we differ on the issue of, you know, do we pay for it or do they go out and earn it themselves? You know, it's a difference.
Well,
that's all.
If we paid people a decent wage, then we'd have more money coming in as revenue too.
If you prepare yourself for your job adequately, you're going to make a better wage. That's my point. It's up to individual choice. So that's all. I don't want to get into the deep dive on that. I'd like to also hear about the gun control legislation that Joe Biden's talking about with expanded background checks. What can you tell us about the mood on the Hill over his ideas? Because he wants to apparently throw out the Second Amendment.
I don't think he wants to throw out the Second Amendment. You know, this subject is a very real subject for me. I lived with a man that you disagreed with sometimes, but not in this subject. You know, to the day he died, John Dingell slept with a handgun under his pillow. And he was one of the strongest members of the NRA for a very long time. And actually, most people don't know that. It's a different NRA now, but he helped found some of it in the 60s. But I also lived with a man that shouldn't have had a gun. And I've been in that room when I thought I was going to die because of his behavior and the access to the gun. So the question is, how do we keep guns out of the hands of people that shouldn't have guns? And how do we protect people's Second Amendment rights at the same time? But, you know, I refuse to say my heart's broken and I have prayers for the families, because those are meaningless words. We've had two mass shootings in that country in a week. What do we do to stop them? We did pass just the back. We closed the, last week there were three bills. We closed the Charleston loophole. We passed a background check bill. And we passed the Violence Against Women Act.
Okay, I get that, but we're trying to restrict people who are not the shooters. They're not the people who buy the guns legally. They're the ones who get the guns by any means necessary. And those evil people with evil intent are going to do that anyways, aren't they?
Well, the person in Georgia bought the gun that day and used it. That gun might have been kept out of his hands. I guess the shooter, and we're still learning a lot about the shooter in Colorado. Apparently, his family reports. Remember, I'm just giving reports. This isn't, you know, that he's a schizophrenic and that he brought the gun about a week ago. So, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that the mental health community does not want guns tied to mental health issues.